Freeman.
Oh, hello, Alec. Just wanted to let you know that today's episode is the Forever Beetle.
Well, when did you find this out?
Oh, just now, when we pressed the button.
Well, you know what it means, don't you?
Yes, no full introduction today, as it's quite a long episode. Still, sooner we get started, eh?
Right.
So, you'll introduce Space Precinct?
Leave that with me.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Bye. Bye, Alec. Yeah.
Bye. You and your computers.
So, after a run of, well, several weeks of very early episodes from the 60s shows, we now go to the 90s to one of the very last episodes of Space Precinct. Again, this is how the randomizer works. It's very random. Yeah, this would have been, I guess, the last standalone episode filmed. I can't remember if this was filmed between The Fire Within and part two of Death Watch. I have a feeling that's right. And here we are in this laboratory place. Oh, what was it? DexCorp, I think. And here's a security guard checking the place over. Everything seems fine except for that suspicious shadowy figure in black that's following him around. What we have in this case? It's a rather barely animated beetle. While our security guard friend is distracted with that, the guy in black, ooh, thumped him. And the guy who got thumped didn't seem especially bothered. Oh, here's an interesting shot. Some kind of shuttle bus approaching the space suburb.
A load of this.
Ooh. What is that?
It's a red dot tarantula. I traded Ralphie for it. Pretty orbital, huh?
It's really poisonous, Dad.
Oh.
I want that out of there.
Tarantulas. Oh, no, tarantulas are nice.
Can't get out of here. Oh, come on, Dad.
My sister used to have one. His name was Howard, and she had to feed him live locusts. And we'd never actually see him eat any of them. You'd put them in, and he would just sort of go up to them and stroke them. And by the next morning, all that was left was their heads. But he was quite an affectionate little tarantula. Anyway, my personal experiences of tarantulas mean nothing to the Forever Beetle, because Brogan's old friend has shown up.
Hey, Murph!
It's Murph! Murphy, Uncle Murph, or as Sally Brogan calls him,
What do you mean? I just came to see my old pal.
Ah, extra weight looks good, man.
Love you too, Brogan. For the lady of the house.
Ah, the one I know I have to sweet talk the most because she's gonna give me hell just for being here.
What's a guy gotta do to get a little refreshment around here?
Oh, sorry, man. A beer okay?
Anything.
This is a very believable character to just blunder straight into the Brogan's household, and I think what sells it is the fact that all the actors seem really comfortable with him, the kids, you know, jumping all over him and such.
He can't stay.
It feels very real, and unfortunately even Sally's, you know, typical...
What to say?
You say he can't stay.
...downer attitude to everything Brogan-related.
He's staying.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
We've all had this moment in families. I was, most of us.
Can't leave?
There's always that one.
Perfect. You can't leave.
Family member who just shows up, unannounced.
I can't believe I said that.
God, yeah. It's now nighttime. They're in bed, and you can clearly see Sally's been thinking about this all day.
What? I get to be the bad guy?
That one act of kindness that she did that will haunt her for the rest of her life.
Whatever you say.
Honey, give me a break.
And of course it's Brogan's fault. We're not even 5 minutes into the episode, and already it's all Brogan's fault.
Murphy's around. Look at us, we start arguing.
But even when he's not around, we're arguing.
First thing in the morning, maybe you'll understand.
And again, I stress, it's nothing against Nancy Paul. She's playing the character as written, and the character as written is unfortunately... I would find her very difficult to live with. Meanwhile, Murphy is on the couch, looking at his captured forever beetle, which is, is still barely moving. To be honest, I'm not quite sure what I was expecting, because if it was done in CGI, it would just look terrible. So I guess I'll settle for barely mobile puppet.
Where's Lieutenant Brogan?
Over CGI bug.
He's in the interrogation room, Captain.
And here's a subplot that's interesting, because it doesn't seem to... It doesn't really go anywhere that I recall. It's been quite a while since I've seen this episode. But Brogan is interrogating a man named Armory Wolf.
What the hell's he doing?
Whispering, sir.
And I love that they've turned down the lighting in the interrogation room.
It's Wolf's attorney.
On his way.
Also, Podley's office looks quite dark as well. But again, I love with this show, when you have a scene of...
Again.
like that, Fredo and Podley, just the animatronic alien characters talking, no humans, and I believe it. I completely buy into the Kreons and the Tarns.
I'm scared. I don't know what to do. I'm sure he's hiding. Oh no, please help me. He's here, he's hurt.
And this is one of those moments where I think the show aims to be, this is very much the Hill Street Blues, very real, very nasty.
He followed the
off-screen villainy.
And almost killed her for 27 credits.
Yes, this chap Wolf is
your drugs.
Pushing drugs to kids. And some of those kids do naughty things to poor ladies.
You have no legal right to talk to my client without counsel present.
And here's his lawyer, Drover Pike. I remember that's his name because he's featured on the Making of Space Precinct documentary. You see them putting the paint on the head.
Yeah, well, lucky for you, your client's been giving me the silent treatment. But lucky for me.
And Wolf, I don't think the makeup on the Wolf character, it is a mostly human face with a bit of forehead stuff. It's not all that convincing looking, but I think the actor nails it with a very, very cool vocal performance.
Then ask.
You ever seen this boy before?
No.
So you never sold him drugs?
He answered the question, Brogan.
You ever sold drugs to kids?
Oh, of course not.
Have you ever sold illegal drugs?
That's it. You want to go fishing? Do it on your own time, Brogan. You heard my client, Captain. Now hear me. This is the third time in a month that Brogan's badgered Mr. Wolf.
Sneaking up behind him and asking him what the time is, it's just not on.
Cops in line. Now, Either press charges or open that door.
Podley's not enjoying this. But he knows he can't really hold Wolf. So that's it. We've got to let him go. Yeah, it's very nice that they've turned down the lights for this. In particular, it casts a lot of shadows with the few lights that are left.
It bothers me. It's hers.
Please, somebody help me. I was followed home, and there's a man in my apartment. I'm so scared. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, this is where Brogan comes off sort of like, almost like he's a cop from a different series entirely.
The cemeteries are full of people who got closer to Harmony Wolf. Call it a day, Lieutenant.
And again, it is an interesting element that they've included here. Something that does happen, I would assume, with a lot of police work. There are some times where you just have to kind of say, okay, we know, but we can't prove it. We've got to let them go.
Is this it, Slow-mo?
You are looking at the complete file, Lieutenant.
Well, there's nothing here I can use.
Look, Brogan, nobody's blast-proof. Not even Wolf.
No.
What about Vinny Artak?
Your paperwork.
I seem to recall that was his slogan. And that was the last time I think we saw Space Precinct on the randomizer. In fact, it was Divided We Stand, way back at the start of the year.
They just found him in an alley, OD'd.
What was he doing in a jail?
Oh, dear.
He made bail.
With what? He was broke.
Yeah.
Armory Wolf. And I showed him the kid's picture.
Don't blame yourself, Brogan. If Wolf wants to nail someone, he doesn't need a picture. Not this boy's. Not yours, so be careful.
I love the way they make this Wolf character seem very threatening. It's implied he's got this big organization when really the character is A, quite short, and B, quite sort of immobile. Again, nothing against the actor. I think he plays it very, very deadpan and very restrained.
I'm not afraid of barroom rules, Haldane.
So, Brogan and Haldane, and Took and Castle. Fredo's given them a choice. There's a missing bug or a barroom brawl.
You afraid of creepy crawlies?
Brogan and Haldane have got the bug operation. DexCorp, that's where this is. And who are we going to meet at DexCorp? There's a Tarn scientist named Dr. Long, voiced by...
I didn't know you had a thing about bugs.
I don't. They got a thing about me.
Fourth entry. No prints. Security guard missing.
Inside job?
Well, I suppose the forced entry could have been faked.
All right, get on an APB on the guard.
Right.
Officers, I'm Dr. Long, project leader for DexCorp Pharmaceuticals.
It's David Graham, in case you needed any introduction to that voice.
The bug was the project.
And I'm recording this just a few days after his 97th birthday. By the time you hear this, it'll probably be about a month later.
Close to extinction. The female that was stolen was the last of its kind. It had only recently been discovered, emerging after 17 years underground.
Wow, 17 years.
And I love Haldane's... at first, I used to think he was sort of feigning interest, but actually now I looked at it, I think he's genuinely interested in all this, in a way that Brogan isn't. And it's quite refreshing. I like that they've, you know, presented our two regular cop duos with a choice of Barroom Brawl or Missing Bug. The girls take the brawl, the boys have the bug, which is the last thing you'd expect, and we find out Brogan isn't too keen on bugs. But Haldane's quite interested.
You're about to witness an experiment conducted under my supervision.
And this just shows how wonderful this and important this bug is.
The subject of the experiment. Senna was born without the complete fingers of the right hand.
Oh.
The experiment involved the application of a drug we developed. We hoped it would stimulate cell regeneration.
Did it work?
Just watch. 5 days.
Ooh.
10 days.
Oh, there's a finger.
15 days.
And she's got a whole hand.
My God.
We found the drug in the womb of Terranosis Eternicum.
The forever beetle.
If only we could learn how to synthesize the chemical.
Yeah,
could regrow the hands of a lot of little girls.
They already have.
So that's why it's important to get the bug back. Meanwhile, over at the Sports Pit Bar, it's the usual crowd of very badly made up human extras and familiar alien masks that you know have no mouth mechanisms.
No started this.
Well, they just call them jelly heads.
Men can be so aggressive.
Along with Crispin Merrill's familiar nightclub theme. I think this was heard in Predator and Prey, and here we go.
Isn't it about time you redecorated?
Is he the one who started it?
I was going to say earlier that I enjoy the performance of Armory Wolf precisely because it isn't dubbed. And it's like, okay, they've learnt their lesson on the dubbing, but no, because here we have this chap named Thunder Cole.
You doing anything later?
Who, that's clearly not his voice, so...
Got a date with the jail cell.
I giveth a point and I taketh away a point. But I also kind of give a point back for casting David Graham as the voice of Dr. Long. Another unusual shot of the station house there, the cruiser landing, looking vertically up at the thing.
And destruction of private property.
Name.
What's your name?
Sergeant, tell them my name, please.
Thunder Cole!
Hey!
And I love... Oh, wow. That was a... There was a human extra there, and I apologise, this sounds very cruel. He looks less human than some of the aliens. But I love the animatronic facial reactions on Fredo and Orin and Romek here at the sight of their hero, Thunder Cole.
Sorry about this, Thunder. There's been a mistake here.
What's going on here? Who is this?
Thunder Cole!
Big deal.
And I suppose... it's kind of sort of, you know, stereotypical in the sense that all the boys know who this sporting hero is.
Hey, Thunder Cold!
And the girls don't. But I think it's worth it for Castle's total disinterest in who and what he is.
Look, just let me apologize on behalf of the 88.
Don't you dare apologize for me.
This is Thunder Cold. He's the greatest slam ball player in the history of the game.
If you'd be so kind...
I don't think that'll be...
I've often wondered, actually, if that voice of Thunder is possibly Wayne Forrester. I don't think it is, but sometimes there's little moments, little inflections in the voice that makes me think maybe it is.
Patrick, you've said it yourself. He always overstays his welcome. I mean, he's a freeloader.
No, that's what you say.
Freeloader?
Look, I know he's your best friend, but...
Honey, I never said he was a freeloader.
You implied it. Look, look at us. We're arguing again.
I'm not arguing.
Patrick, please. I just want him to stay somewhere else.
All right. I'll talk to him tonight.
Well, why don't you have a vote?
Wait that long.
What? Hey, buddy.
Hands up all those who want Sally to stay.
It's okay, Fredo. Let him in.
Have fun.
Hey, Murph. What are you doing here, man?
I need a favor. I've got some meetings in Demeter. I was wondering if I could borrow your hopper to get around.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks, Dad.
Look, we gotta talk.
I promise I'll only be a couple hours. Promise.
Who's that guy?
Tommy Murphy. He's staying a few days at our house. We grew up together. School, scouts, sports. Best halfback I ever saw. Best man at my wedding. Best friend.
Ooh.
Oh.
Haldane takes that as well as you might expect.
What a hero.
That's why he's never been mentioned before.
I saw him about 3 months ago.
And this is one of my favorite Orin and Romek moments.
Yep, he was brilliant.
What a player.
Absolutely brilliant.
I modeled myself on him, you know.
Why don't you get a life, Orin?
What? I'm only saying.
It's very in keeping with the character. Oh! Explosion! And here we go. This is not the first time we've seen the station house's crack fire response team. And of course, you can't see the explosion. You just see a bunch of extras with fire extinguishers.
No!
And of course, it was Brogan's hopper. Oh, no. Only a week or two after he got one to replace the one that was destroyed in the fire within, I believe. They do go through hoppers, the Brogan family. But here's a lovely scene.
Liz is asleep. Matt's pretty restless.
And again, this is where I give Nancy Paul just the benefit of the doubt. I always say my problems with Sally are not with her, because in moments like this, she really shows she can deliver the goods.
He'd ride his bike down a flight of stairs at school.
And so does Ted Shackelford here. This is just some wonderful stuff. And it's all in service of a character that is supposedly so important in Brogan's life and yet has never been mentioned before. He's even got a photo of them on a fishing trip.
Dare him to do it, and he would.
Which obviously has never been seen around the flat before.
When we got older.
I noticed recently there's a similar photo in The Fire Within of Brogan, Sally, Matt, not Liz, and several other people. I've always wondered who those people were.
For the first time, I was scared. Then one day, I dared him to get married. He said he would. When he found another you, it was his way of saying he was never going to get married. And it was his way of saying, if anything ever happened to me, he'd take care of you.
These two are so invested in these roles, it's wonderful.
That bomb was meant for me, Sal.
And also we have Matt watching from the doorway, looking very Rick Astley-ish, I've got to say. But he also looks a lot older than when he started the series. And that's a theme this episode touches on.
Well, the good news is the device was made by an amateur. It was a lousy bomb.
Huh. How good does a bomb have to be? Isn't good enough to kill somebody good enough? Or does it have to score style points, too?
Back off. You know what I mean.
No, I don't.
A good bomb, a really good bomb, doesn't leave anything behind. Nothing to examine, nothing to identify, nothing to piece together. I'm sorry about your friend, Lieutenant. I truly am. But this bomb is the best chance we've got to catch the guy who did it.
And again, that's another moment there that feels very nice and very real. I like the fact that Carson puts his foot in it there with Brogan, just through his own enthusiasm for his job. And you can understand his sort of...
I'm too angry.
You know, defensive response there. Because, you know, you have to remember, Carson is in charge of, on this station, the medical department, the science department, the engineering department, and now the forensics department. Any department that... doesn't have anyone in charge. I'll just give it to Carson. He doesn't have anything else to do.
Alone. You can read their report.
Okay, Brogan. You got it.
Oh, so Brogan's going to get his one-on-one with Wolf?
Mr. Wolf, I don't advise this.
Back off. I'm going to Grandma's house.
You just made the biggest mistake of your life.
And I also like with this actor is he keeps running his tongue across his teeth and his lips.
Number three, you got sloppy. You left a trail. I'm going to get you, Wolf. It's called payback.
But?
If you think I'm the only person who wants to dance on your grave, you're dumber than I thought. Number two, I don't leave trails. Look for someone who does. And number three, you ain't worth the risk to kill.
And he's right. I love that Brogan just goes completely down the wrong track here.
Won't no one hit you.
And Mr. Wolf? Oh, he does that little friendly slap on the shoulders. Yes. Again, it's moments like that that make me really appreciate that character.
Here's the rest of the list, Lieutenant. Whoa. I didn't realize you were such an unpopular guy.
Thanks. I needed that.
What do you got?
Enemies. Hundreds of them.
You rule out Wolf yet?
Yeah, for now. Anybody on...
So it could be anyone. It could be, I don't know, Mass Mahag?
Oren, look who's here!
And I love this as well, this sort of bigging up moment for Oren.
Listen, I want to thank you again for what you did. You'll be my guest at Saturday's championship.
Whatever he did. I guess he let him off.
Hey, thanks to the old man here, the sports bet dropped all charges. Oh. Me and Babs kissed for the cameras. Great publicity.
So you're a hero now.
Wow. So Oren goes down to the sports bet and sorts everything out.
If you're going to try to use those tickets to apologize to me, you're wasting your time.
And Haldane's keeping an eye on Thunder Cole flirting with Castle here.
Pointless, primitive, and idiotic.
Whoa.
There's no call for that.
The lady's entitled to her opinion, which I respect. Would you let me apologize to you over dinner at Flax?
I'll use my own voice. I love all the alien extras in the background. Clearly their mouths don't work, their eyes don't even move. They look so lifeless. And of course, Castle looks over at Haldane and she says...
Okay.
Woo!
Hey!
And everyone's very happy.
I'll see you later then, huh?
Except, of course, for Haldane.
All right.
Hey! He's a friend of tickets. Ours! We got tickets to the game!
Aw. Good old Orin and Romek. Yeah, and here's Zill as well.
I don't know what you're talking about. Mom and Liz will be home soon. Squawk at them.
So Matt's on his own. Yes, this is an interesting... it's rare, actually, that I feel genuinely invested in Brogan's children. It happens more with Matt, I think, in episodes like this, and also Body and Soul. But it's interesting that he starts the series very irritating. I mean, they both do. With all his, orbital, far out, blah, 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 blah. And this is a far more interesting and believable and mature way to push the character. He's home alone while these two thugs have broken in through the garden windows.
There's nothing here.
Zill is giving them a piece of her mind.
Try the rooms down here.
Yeah, okay.
And while Matt's in his bedroom, well, he's got to hide because they're going to search the whole house. That's it, sneak under the bed. And it's very, very tense. Oh, yes, it's a very tense moment, and then they throw a tarantula at him. And it's, you really fear for Matt at this point. And that's something I never thought I would say. I don't really care about the character, except in moments like this, where not only has he got people tearing his room apart, he's also got a poisonous tarantula coming right for him.
Hey, what was that?
I don't know. An airlock?
We're out of here.
It's the traditional Creon thug duo of Croaky and Dopey. We've heard those voices in several episodes previously. And speaking of things we've seen in several episodes...
I'm not going to miss a thing, I promise you, Lieutenant.
I know, you're right. I'm sorry. They didn't take anything valuable.
Carson's turned up to the Brogan household with a forensics team. At this point, the Brogan household has been broken into so often...
We'll get them, sir.
...that Carson must have, he must have, a special unit just for Brogan household stuff. The place has been trashed and invaded so often. Every officer on the station must know the layout of the place by memory.
Look at them.
And speaking of memory, here's the Tarn photo fit artist who... turned up in several episodes, never saying anything. And that's... there's a shot. It's lifted from Enforcer.
You don't want...
There's a shot of the station house, and they reuse it several times throughout the series. It's of the station firing its forward thrusters and starting to fall out of orbit. And it reminds me of that thing I've mentioned in New Captain Scarlet, Engineering Emergency.
Excuse!
That they just keep reusing and reusing, and nobody seems to remember what that shot was actually for and what it means. The station is currently falling out of orbit, that means.
I don't know. I left before...
And instead we're discussing the failure that is Castle and Thunder's date.
I told him I didn't appreciate being stranded at the table. He said I was too uptight. I disagreed. And then he told me what he thought I needed. And that's when I got up and slapped him.
Ooh. You hit Thunder, Cole?
Again, I love the reaction of Orin and Romek, but I also like the reactions of a lot of the human extras there. There was what appeared to be a criminal there was laughing along with a police officer.
Terrible, okay?
Why are you so uptight?
Uh-oh.
You know what you mean.
And I think this is something... Richard mentions in his book, Space Precinct Unmasked, available from the Gerry Anderson store and all good retailers, that Castle is stamping these pieces of paper with a red light. And, oh no, Took is passing her pieces of paper and Castle stamps them with a red light. And it's such pointless work for two people.
Tell you what, we'll ask him when we catch him.
I hope he may regale us with that story at the end of this this randomizer, because of course I forget, even though he mentions it all the time, I forget when I'm actually watching this. Oh yeah, Richard, co-host of the podcast, was there through all this.
Get it!
And we've caught our two home invaders. Well, Haldane's grabbed one of them. They were staying at a hotel on Cheap Street. That's what I'm going to call it, because it did look quite cheap.
Hey!
Now, that's Dopey nailed to a communication post. Croaky has always found his way into a blind alley. No way out, no matter how much he pounds on that door.
Freeze! Get out from there!
Do it now!
And this is something I like with Brogan, and we rarely see it to this extent. I think we saw it in Time to Kill.
Drop dead.
Where Brogan is so angry.
Crashed my home, scared my kid, and killed my friend.
Because the threat got so close to home and so personal. You really think he's gonna blow this guy's head off.
Easy, Brogan.
Stay out of this.
And even Haldane is... This has gone beyond good cop, bad cop. This is... We've got to stop Brogan before he murders the suspect.
Didn't find what we were looking for.
What was that?
I don't know. Some bug or something. A beetle.
The Forever Beetle?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Your friend, Murphy, he had it. He already sold it to our client, but he died before delivery.
You telling me Tommy Murphy had the Forever Beetle in my house?
I told you, it wasn't there.
Who's your client?
Oh, man. I can't tell you that. Oh, all right. All right. It was Xander Pharmix.
Ha ha ha.
It's number two to Daxcor, their main competition.
Oh, so we have
out of here.
Rival pharmaceutical companies. Which means it was nothing to do with Mr. Wolf at all. Another interesting shot there of the space suburb.
I'm here.
In almost total darkness with a couple of spaceships approaching it.
Matt?
Anyway, Sally's home early. Probably had a busy day of...
Oh, dear.
Inwardly complaining to herself about everyone and everything. Not being up to her satisfaction, including Matt's room here. Yes, it is quite a mess. I don't know where the tarantula's gone, but what does she find in the drawer?
Wow, a gun!
With a clip in it. And, again, this is what I mean when I say they take the Matt character in a very interesting direction here. That is not... This is not something you would expect to see in a family-orientated or kids-aimed show.
Meet Nardo and Ruff, homewreckers.
Nardo and Ruff, okay. I prefer to call them Dopey and Crokey. I love I love that Crokey has a moustache. Oh no, Dopey has a moustache.
When you're done with those two, Fredo, can you check the bank accounts for Xana Pharmix? See if they made a large cash withdrawal.
Very, and I find it so difficult to talk about this because I don't want to give the impression that I admire what Matt has done.
Lab and sells it to the company.
And I think, to the show's credit, they don't present it as something, oh, he's done the right thing here. This is, it's not a good thing, but it's an understandable thing.
Partner in this, sir.
And again, shows that this is a kid who's growing up in a very dangerous environment.
It's a bank statement from Xana Pharmix. They made a 500,000 credit withdrawal the day before Murphy was killed.
I checked out the bloodstains from your hopper. We got a match. You won't believe it. It was Vint.
Hoot?
Who's he?
Yeah.
The missing security guard from Dexcor.
Ah, the one who got bopped on the head.
He was in the hopper when it exploded. Not Murphy.
Murphy's alive?
And he somehow dragged Vint's body up to the station and nobody noticed him dragging it into the cargo bay and loading it into a hopper?
What are you doing with that?
Oh, God.
I found it in Matt's room.
Yes, I love how suddenly we cut back to just this plot.
I gotta deal with this.
You're gonna deal with me first.
And again, this is... I said it before.
Times I've talked to him about...
This is not Sally moaning for the sake of moaning, for the sake of being Sally.
He bought it because there are people out there who can come into our house, into our lives, and hurt us, or kill us.
It's very rare that she...
And he's not about to let that happen, not when he can do something about it.
...can empathize with another character.
She's willing to die for you, or kill for you. I'm not angry at him for that.
It's... so... As I said, I don't want to give the impression that I admire what Matt's done, because I really don't, but I admire the show for... taking this very, very mature idea and throwing it into a show that they know they're going to be pushing to kids quite heavily. And I just love that shot of Brogan picking up Matt's soccer ball and thinking, oh God, where did the years go? You can see it on his face while Matt sleeps. He's just, where did my little boy go? It's very brave and very surprising that the show would do this. Along with that familiar sad family moment music.
Murphy didn't fake his death so he could take the money and run.
I agree. He faked his death so we stopped looking for him.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah. Because he needs more time.
More time for what?
To get more money.
To kill more security guards.
More money? Huh. From who? Santa Pharmix? They're a little short of cash right now.
Could try Intercam.
We've seen their bank statements.
They're apparently still going after their...
They could afford it.
CEO's head exploded.
In the first place.
Dexcor, our old friend Dr. Long.
Why sell it once when you can sell it twice?
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, some friend, this guy, could have faked his death 100 different ways and not involved you.
Nah, he wanted me to see him get killed. I'm the perfect witness. If the police say he's dead, he's dead.
Hmm. Yeah, and he makes the bomb look like it's meant for you to throw us off track. Smart.
Man, all the time he's sleeping at my house. And I can't figure that out. Why'd he stay the night? He could have still come by the station and borrowed the hopper.
Cheaper than a hotel room?
Yeah, it was a move. I've known Murphy a long time. He never wastes a move.
Did you see the look on his face when you brought that stamp down on his hand? Tar and males are so different. If they feel something, they say it. I don't understand human male emotion at all.
Oh, Took's third eye mechanism open briefly there.
Got another bar and brawl at the sports pit.
Hey.
Your first dibs.
Let's go to the sports pit again, why not?
Oren, what do you got?
All right, Lieutenant, here it is. Dexco Pharmaceuticals didn't make any kind of withdrawals within a week of Murphy's so-called death.
You're kidding.
But they made a whopper this morning.
Oh, Oren's doing some detective work in addition to helping his friend Thunder Cole at the sports pit, and here we are again.
Turn around. Right, move it. Hands on the bar.
Ah, you're wasting your time.
It's the same old collection of misfits and weirdos among the extras.
The other night.
And of course, Thunder Cole, who has nothing better to do than hang out in this bar having fights.
A little uptight. And we all know what she needs.
Ooh.
You do, huh?
You better believe it, baby.
He's so smarmy, him and his monobrow.
And you're the one who can give it to me?
If you pick the lucky number.
Janie?
But we now get to see how he treats women.
Come on, Sean.
Not well. Yeah, it's, I don't think they really needed to do much to make this character so, you know, make the audience hate this character. So the fact that they go to such extremes of, hey, he slapped this woman around until her face is covered in bruises.
What else to do?
Might have been a bit much.
You destroy the beetle. I couldn't bear that. So I got the money.
What did you agree on?
Why, he's bringing it here in half an hour. Look, please don't interfere. I just want to get that beetle back.
And of course, ultimately in this episode, he doesn't get the beetle back, which is a shame.
What rooms did you find Murphy's prints in?
Hallway, living room, dining room, kitchen, Matt's room. All over the closet door.
Okay, thanks. You think of what I'm thinking?
Yeah, the bug, it's in the closet.
Yeah, like I said, Murphy never wastes a move. He's probably on his way there right now. Matt's not home from school yet. All right, you stay here in case Murphy's already on his way down.
How to get out of its box? It must be here somewhere. You must have seen it. Did you take it out of its box?
I told you, I didn't know it was in here, Uncle Murph. Look.
The tarantula could have eaten it. What happened to the tarantula? I have no idea.
They tore everything apart. I must have gotten out.
It didn't even disappear into thin air! It's got to be here somewhere.
Uh-oh.
I'll help you.
Stay right where I can see him. Don't say a word.
And Murphy's on the point of flat out strangling Matt. This guy's gone full ham. But luckily...
Leave the room, son. Shut the door. Call the station for backup.
Yeah, Brogan's arrived just in time.
I trusted you, Murphy. I cried for you.
I got into an argument with my wife over you. Well, I would have had an argument with her anyway, so it doesn't matter, but... He's almost on the point of tears there. And yeah, the Forever Beetle has escaped. Oh no. Oh, there's that same shot of the cruiser's landing that I mentioned earlier.
Contributions to the department's insurance fund. They haven't gone for naught. You're the proud owner of a brand new hopper.
Well, let's see how long you keep this one before you blow it up.
I know how tough this was for you.
Ever since we were kids, I made excuses for him. I let him get away with all kinds of things because we were friends. He counted on that.
Well,
and that really seems to be the core of this episode, is the main plot, so the Murphy plot, the Thunder Cole plot, the Forever Beetle itself, Dr. Long wanting to use it to help people regrow limbs, he won't do that anymore because the Forever Beetle is not in his possession.
Sergeant, but I'm going to count my money.
Oh. One of the female extras got...
Need some tickets? Did you hear something?
Got dubbed there. I think she gets a line here as well.
Bag making a lot of noise.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Do you want some tickets for tonight's game?
You gotta be kidding.
I take it that's not her own voice.
No.
I tend to assume... Oh.
Witness.
Haldane's sitting on a keyboard. I love that in sci-fi shows where people come and sit on control panels. I think Commander Riker does that quite a lot in The Next Generation. He will just sit on... You know, random consoles on the back of the bridge, and nothing ever happens.
That's it? I thought she'd at least have dinner with me.
I guess that qualifies as another assumption.
And, yes, this episode was also when they reshot a scene for Illegal. You can tell by Haldane's hair in that one scene where they open the power junction box.
Makes me feel good, too.
Ah, tuck-in time.
Dad, I'm sorry about the gun. It was really stupid.
No, it wasn't. It was dangerous, and it was illegal, but it wasn't stupid. You were just reacting to a situation you should never have been put in the first place.
I like that reminder. This is not just a, you know, generic American teen kid. He's in a very dangerous environment. He might do things like this.
Sometimes get rewards for being brave.
Oh, of course, you want something out of it, though.
Yeah, I guess we could spot you a few extra credits this week. As long as you clean up this desk.
Ooh, clean up the desk.
Good night.
Oh, no, I can't talk. My desk is quite a dump at the moment as well. I've got a Konami SPV and some headphones and a battery pack, various receipts. Yeah, I could do a tidying up my desk, actually.
What about you?
You okay?
Well... I think about Murphy being in prison for the rest of his life. And I think I'm really lucky I got you guys.
And then the next time I get into an argument with you, I'm going to think prison maybe isn't so bad after all. So, everyone's off to bed. And up on a little eagle on the wall of Matt's room, we see the Forever Beetle has turned into a beautiful Forever Butterfly. Again, CGI. It reminds me a bit of Leica, actually, from Lavender Castle. And it comes and sits on Matt's pillow. Ah. Well, all those children won't be regrowing their limbs, but luckily the Forever Beetle is going to live, butterflies live a very short life, don't they? Well, it's presented as a happy ending, but I'm not sure it really is. Anyway, that was The Forever Beetle, and I kind of like the way that the show has become far more mature than perhaps most people give it credit for by this point. Thundercoal is a bit of a... it's another subplot that really only exists to kind of push the Haldane-Castle relationship, the will-they-won't-they stuff. That ultimately, we know they won't do anything until the final episode, but some fantastic performances from Ted Shackelford and Nancy Paul. Just the emotion at the core of this one is very real and very genuine. Some nice character moments too. So, not the greatest Space Precinct episode, but a strong example of the end of the series. Would have been interesting, really, going into a second series if they'd managed to do a few more like this, really.